Chen, how are you?
Yeah.
All right. How's that? Hasn't the conference been amazing? God's pouring into us. He's equipping us. He's challenging us, correcting us, and just working out what needs to be worked out and working in what needs to be worked in. And that's what these conferences are for, so that God could work out what needs to be worked out and work in what needs to be worked in. And I'm so glad that God is faithful, that He makes these seasons available to us. I want to thank Pastor Joseph and the entire Silver City crew that are laboring to make these kinds of things happen. So let's give them a big round of applause. Let's thank them for what they're doing. With that, I want to talk about roles and responsibilities from a familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. As you're turning there, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these men of God. Thank you, Father, for consecrating us and for setting us apart for such a time as this. Father, we are mere men at best. We need you. Lord, we're desperate for you. We can't do anything apart from you. But with you, Father, as the Bible says, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us the strength. And we want to be leaders for our wives. We want to lead them in godliness. We want to lead them towards you. And so, God, equip us to be the called leaders that you've called us to be. Help us to be those men that love them passionately, sacrificially. Help us to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses and to follow you. Help us to follow your example of love and how you demonstrated your love for us, and yet while we were still sinners, you died on the cross for us. And so, Lord, help us also to leave those things that we need to leave, so that our marriages could be enhanced and so that our marriages could be godly and successful, holy and happy, and all that you desire for our marriages to be. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit as we lay ourselves aside and we make room for the working of your Holy Spirit. Lord, work in us and then work through us, and help us to be the men of God, the fathers of God, the husbands of God, the leaders of God that you've called us to be. Lord, you want us to be difference makers. You want us to be movers and makers in our homes. That's the most important place. And so, God, help us to do what you've called us to do. Bless these men. Encourage them. Refresh them, Lord God, and give them what they need through your divine power. Bless them as mighty men of God, and help them to be tender warriors, strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Lord God, give them all that they need. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. When I was growing up, I didn't have a role model to teach me what a godly husband should look like. It wasn't until after I came to faith in Christ in my 20s that I started to learn about the biblical roles and responsibilities of a husband. Years later, when I became a husband, God began to show me my why. He began to show me what my roles and my responsibility as a husband was to look like. He showed me my why. It is said that your why refers to the underlying motivation, purpose, and reasons behind your actions and decisions. It's the driving force that fuels your passion and gives meaning to your life. In essence, your why is your personal mission statement that keeps you motivated and focused on the things that truly matter to you. Why is it important to know your role as a husband? It's important Because God has given us these roles and these responsibilities, and it's important because our roles and our responsibilities truly matter to God. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given roles and responsibilities to His people. We see the roles and responsibilities that God gave throughout the Word of God. In the Old Testament, God called the men to be the priests. In the New Testament, He called the men to be the pastors. He gave them the role of a priest and the role of a pastor. He assigned them those roles, and He expected them to step up and to step into those roles. These priests in the Old Testament and pastors in the New Testament, they kept a spiritual pulse on the people of God. And as men of God, God wants us to keep a spiritual pulse on our marriages, on our wives, and on our families. He's given us these roles that are divine roles and divine responsibilities. And isn't it amazing that God has entrusted us with these roles and these responsibilities? He has said to us, men, I am believing in you. You have the ability to fulfill these God-given roles. God has anointed us for these roles and these responsibilities. Not only has He anointed us, set us apart, but He has also appointed us for these roles and these responsibilities. So you and I, we are anointed and we are appointed to walk in these God-given roles. And it's a privilege, and it's an honor, and it's a joy. Now, we don't always hit the mark. We miss the mark at times. We fail in fulfilling those God-given roles and responsibilities. But when we fail, what do? We get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he doesn't stay down. He doesn't tap out. He puts the gloves back on and he gets back up and he goes forward in fulfilling that God-given role. So every single one of us who have been married, who are married, we have been anointed and appointed for this call. And this morning, I want to look at 3 things. I want to look at leadership. That's the number one role that I want to look at. Then I want to look at love. And then the third one, leave. So we're going to look at leadership, we're going to look at love, and we're going to look at leave. Those are the 3 roles that God has given to us as husbands. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, you can also bring it up on your phone, YouVersion, or whatever Bible app you have, and you can read along. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, a mega mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Back in verse 23, Paul says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church." The word head is defined as a principal person, a leader, a commander, one who has rank or place. That's what the word head is defined as, a principal person, a leader, a commander, one who has rank or place. God has called us to be the leaders of our wives. 1 Corinthians 11:3, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, so as men of God, we answer to God." We answer to Jesus. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. You see the roles, you see the order. God divinely ordered things, and He gave us divine roles. The Lord has picked you and I to be the leaders of our wives. He's entrusted us, and He has given us this great and awesome responsibility to lead our wives. As husbands, we are growing in our leadership, and we should always be growing in our leadership. We are growing. We are a work in progress. God has begun a good work in us, and He is faithful to continue in that work, and He's going to be faithful to complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. So as men of God, as husbands, we are growing in our leadership, and we should constantly be growing in our leadership. We haven't attained, nor have we been perfected in our leadership, but what do? We press on in our leadership. There are times when you may not feel like the leader, or you may not want to be the leader. You may have stumbled in your leadership. Those are the things that take place as we lead our wives. There are times where we don't feel like being the leader. But we don't base it on feelings, right? We base it on what? Facts. Not on feelings, but on facts. We know the fact of the matter is that God has entrusted us, and He's given us this role and this responsibility to be leaders of our wives, to be leaders of our homes. And when we don't feel like it, we go back to the facts. And we rely on the facts. We know what God has called us to do. There might be times where you don't want to be the leader. And what do? You remind yourself, it's not about what I want, it's about what God wants. What does God want? God wants me to lead my wife. He wants me to pour into her. You may have stumbled in your leadership, and so what do? You remind yourself that God's called you to be the leader of your wife. Lean into your leadership. Get back up and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit so that you can be the servant leader that God has called you and I to be. To be that servant leader. Lord, fill us afresh. Lord, fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Equip me to be the leader that You called me to be. One of the things that I love about marriage is that God uses marriage to develop our leadership. God uses marriage to develop our leadership, because marriage at times could get messy. Marriage at times is hard, and there are times when we don't want to die to ourselves. We don't want to sacrifice. We want our way, or we want to get what we want to get. And so marriage is at times, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's hard, but what do? Along the way, we allow Christ to work in us, and God uses marriage to develop our leadership. Craig Kershaw, he said, if the leader gets better, everyone gets better. And that's true. If we are getting better in our leadership as husbands, our wives are getting better. It's been said that everything rises and falls on leadership. Leadership is influence, someone once said. And everything rises and falls on leadership. Leadership is influence. And so our leadership is influencing our wives. And if the leader is getting better, then everyone is getting better. So the question is, how do we grow in our leadership? How do we grow in our leadership? How do we consistently grow in our leadership? I would submit to you the first thing that we need to do is we need to study Jesus' model of leadership. We need to study Jesus' model of leadership. That's the primary way for us to grow as husbands. Study Jesus' model of leadership. Get into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you guys know, and study his style of leadership. And as you and I know, man, his style of leadership was servanthood. Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet. He got down and he washed their feet and he served, as the Bible says. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And that's one model, that's one way. And as we study his style of leadership, we learn how to be servant leaders. We learn how to serve our wives. And I love serving my wife. It's not always easy, but I love serving her. Because when I serve her, it makes the marriage better. It creates fireworks, and it's what God's called me to do, to serve her, to be compassionate to her like Jesus was compassionate to those that he served, to give mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And at times, as husbands, we want judgment to triumph over mercy, but the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. And when we study his style of leadership, we see those things and the forgiveness that Christ offered, that he gave, and how he set people free, pardoned them. It's just amazing. And so how do we grow in our leadership? Study Jesus' model of leadership. Why? Because Jesus has a lot to teach us about leadership. He is the greatest leader going. There's a lot of leaders out there right now, and great leaders that we can learn from. John Maxwell and Craig Kreshow and other guys who've written leadership books. But man, the best source to go to, the greatest leadership ever given to us as men, is Jesus' style. His model of leadership teaches us how to become the leaders and that he's called us to be. Jesus is like a coach. He trains us and he champions us on how to be effective leaders. And so when we come to the coach, Jesus, he trains us and he champions us on how to be effective leaders. He's training us and he's championing us. He's pushing us. He wants us to be successful in our leadership. And the world is trying to bring us down as leaders. They're trying to strip us away. They're trying to strip those things away from us. But we have to rise and rise again. We have to remind ourselves, man, God's given me this role. God's given me this responsibility. Lord, what a privilege. What an honor. And we come to Jesus. He teaches us how to be the leaders that he has called us to be. As I said, leadership is influence. How are you influencing your wife through your God-given leadership? Think about that for just a moment. How are you influencing your wife through your God-given leadership? How are you doing that? Are you living out your faith? Are you walking out that leadership? How are you influencing your wife through your leadership? Are you growing in your leadership? Are you maybe stagnant right now? Maybe you're stranded on the side of the road and you aren't sure what to do. Maybe sin has stranded you on the side of the road and you're like, man, I just can't get back up. I got 4 flat tires. I can't go anywhere. With Christ, get back up. Remind yourself that he's called you to be that leader and he's equipped you. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to lead your wife. And you may be at that point as a leader where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I've tried. It's just not working. My wife's not ranking under me. She's not submitting to me. She's not respecting me. She doesn't want to come under my leadership. If that's the case, just Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Dive into His Word and influence her even without words. Show her the way and go the way, because God gives you the way. Show her the way. Go the way. Just live it out. Let her watch your life. Live your faith out loud in your leadership, and allow your leadership to influence her. Our leadership makes a big difference. As I said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And when we study the model of Jesus, and when we look at how He led His disciples, how He led the multitudes, He led them with grace, He led them with mercy, with compassion, with love. He was, as Dave talked about it earlier, He was a communicator. As Peter talked about it earlier in his message, Jesus dealt with the issues. He confronted the issues within the family. And God has called us, He's gifted us to be the leaders. And so we are the head of the wife. We are the leaders, and Christ has called us to be. Not only are we leaders, but we should also love our wives. As it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And then verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So from leadership to love. How are we to love our wives? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In other words, we are to demonstrate our love for our wives by dying to ourselves. And that's something that we have to do daily. Paul said, I have crucified myself, I die daily. So we have to die daily to ourselves in order to demonstrate our love to our wives. Just as Christ died and He demonstrated His love for us, He died to Himself to show us how much He loved us. In the same way, we're to demonstrate that kind of love to our wives by dying to ourselves. Secondly, verse 28, nourish them. The word nourish means to nurture or to feed. In other words, feed your wife spiritually. Pour God's word into her and over her. Do it relationally and conversational. Have constant conversations about the Word of God. I know I've talked to guys and over the years as a pastor, and you know, I've sat and talked with different guys, and they're like, man, my devotion time with my wife, pouring the word into her, is just not working. And you know, you get to talking and wow, you know, I'm trying to get everybody to meet at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on a Monday, and things just aren't working, and I'm upset and I'm frustrated because, you know, I just can't seem to make it happen. And I like to tell guys, do it relationally and have conversation. What I do, what my wife and I do, is we talk about the word all the time. I don't set a date. I don't like Monday, we're meeting. Or Sunday evening, we're meeting. I just do it relationally. We do it on a regular basis. Whenever we're driving, I'll share with her what God is sharing with me from His word. And then that sparks and it adds fuel to what God is already doing in her heart. Then she'll begin to share with me, and then we're encouraging each other, and we're building each other up. And so we do it relationally. I'll share with her what God is sharing with me. I'll share with her what God is putting on my heart to share. And so we do it as we're walking, when we go on walks. We do it when we're driving. We try to make it just part of our everyday life, and we conversate, we talk about God's word. And so that's one way that I pour God's word into her and over her, is just through that relationship. And that's a great way to do it. That's a great way to nurture your wife. That's a great way to nourish her, to love her, to feed her spiritually. It's just relationally. Pour God's word into her. Have a conversation. Tell her what God is showing you in your quiet time, and conversate about it, and dig into other scriptures, and watch and see what God will do, because the word nourish means to feed, and God's called us to feed our wives spiritually. We are their priests, we are their pastors, we are to feed them and nurture them. The word cherish is defined as to protect and care for. In other words, care for her beyond measure and cherish her in your heart. Cherish her in your heart. Care for her beyond measure. Those are ways that you can show her that you love her. And then verse 33, it says, in particular, in other words, single her out. In particular, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. In other words, single her out. Single her out. Make her the most important thing. Of course, your relationship with Christ is number one. And then secondly, it's your wife. Single her out. In particular, love her. Single her out. Remind her that you love her. Tell her that you love her. Show her that you love her. Do things that show that you love her beyond measure and that you are cherishing her in your heart. So what are some of the ways that we can show our wives that we love them? Here are some practical ways. Put her first. Put her first. Make her number one. Lift her above yourself. Esteem her even above yourself. Put her first, and she'll know that you love her. Secondly, spend quantity and quality time with her. Spend quantity and quality time with her. You might be thinking, I don't have the time. Well, it's not that we don't have the time. It's that we don't make the time. We have the time. It's that we don't make the time. So spend quantity and spend quality time with her. That reminds her, that shows her, that's a demonstration that you love her with all of your heart and that you're willing to do whatever it takes to lay yourself aside, to lay things aside. And so you spend quantity and quality time with her. That quality time is so important because you look at her in the eyes. You listen to what she's saying. Seek first to understand before being understood. You're hearing her heart. You're spending that quality time with her. You're giving her that undivided attention. And that goes a long ways. It makes a big difference in our marriage, in our relationship. Show her affection. Be affectionate. And maybe you were raised without affection. Ask God to give you a fresh dosage of affection. Be affectionate. Show her that affection. Give her gifts. Buy her roses when she's least expecting it. Stop and buy her, you know, her favorite chocolate bar or whatever it is. Give her gifts and do it just because. That's another way to show her that you love her. Ask her for forgiveness when you fail and you sin against her. Ask her for forgiveness. I have to do that from time to time. I ask the Lord, or not Lord, Sonia, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I was acting up. I shouldn't have done that. I had to do that just the other day, a couple of days ago. I asked her for forgiveness. And she said, I forgive you. No, I don't. No, she did. So ask her for forgiveness. Say it. Say you're sorry. And man, those things go a long way. Another way is be romantic. Think outside of the box. Remember back in the early days when you first met your wife? You would do those small things. You would write those little notes and you put them on the mirror. Some of you guys put some notes on that mirror in the bathroom over there. I read some of those. One of them said, you are my hero. My wife is my hero. And I love some of those notes that you guys wrote on those sticky pads sticky notes and put them on that mirror in that bathroom. Do those kinds of things. Put on the mirror so that when she wakes up in the morning, she goes to the mirror, that's the first thing that she sees. Those kinds of things, it's the little things that make a big difference. And I know, you know, we have so much going on and sometimes we forget about the little things, but it's the little things that make a big difference. And when we do those little things, it adds fuel to our romance. So be romantic. Write letters. Give her flowers. Do things that you haven't done. Do getaways. My wife and I, we've been married almost 24 years. We're coming up on 24 years now in August, August 21st. And every year we get away. We get away 3 to 5 days at least. We do our family vacation. We've been doing a family vacation for years with our 4 kids. And we pour into them. We want them to know that they're important and that we love them. And then my wife and I, we then do getaways. And we do it every year. And man, it's done so much for us. And as we're doing those getaways, you know, we communicate. And, you know, I'll ask her, where am I failing as a leader? Where am I missing the mark? And then she'll tell me where I'm failing or what she thinks I need work on. And then she'll give me the positive. She'll say, man, you're doing good with the kids. Thank you for providing. Thank you for, you know, for doing what you're doing. And then I'll do the same with her, and I'll say, you know, I think you need to work out, you know, you need to work in this area or whatever it is, and then I'll affirm her and encourage her. And so doing those getaways, it makes a big difference. I think we need to do those kinds of things on a regular basis and have date nights and just get away and connect. God wants us to love our wives passionately, because we have a passionate God who loves us deeply. And it's the number one relationship. It should be the most important relationship. And God wants us to love our wives passionately. Because we have a passionate God who loves us. Therefore, stoke your love. Stoke your love so that it doesn't grow lukewarm. God doesn't want us to have lukewarm love for our wives. He doesn't want us to grow lukewarm in our love. So we have to stoke it. We have to do those things. We have to add more wood to the fire. We have to put more kerosene in the fire. No, don't do that, guys. But we have to do those kinds of things. We have to stoke our love. We don't want our love to become lukewarm. We want it to be red hot. We want it to be fiery red. And when we do these kinds of things and we demonstrate our love and we show our love to our wives and we speak that love, man, it just does so much for the marriage. It enhances the marriage. It causes the marriage to become all that God has called it to be. So leadership is essential. Love is commanded. And the final thing that God has called us to do is to lead. Notice with me, verse 31. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Notice the word leave. What shall a man do? He shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. It's no longer you and your parents. Not that you abandon them, not that you forget about them, not that you disconnect from them, but it's no longer about you and your parents or you and your friends. It's now about you and your wife. And you come together, that oneness, that connection. I want to ask you guys a question. Is there anything in your life that you need to leave so that you could focus on your marriage? Is there anything in your life that you need to leave so you can focus on your marriage? There's a lot of things that can come in and distract us from the most important thing, We don't want to just have a good marriage. We want to have a godly marriage. We don't want to have just a good marriage. We want to have a great marriage. And it's learning how to strike a balance. For me as a pastor, I got so much going on. I have four children, 22, 20, 19, and 17, and three out of the four of them now are in relationships. And so I have that going on. Ministry, preaching, teaching, studying, counseling, all those things. So there's so much that goes on. And if I'm not on guard, if I'm not vigilant, if I'm not careful, the things of life can come in and they can take my focus away from the most important thing. And so we have to leave those things that are taking us away from the most important thing. Maybe it's that phone that was talked about by Dave. It could be the phone. The average person spends over 3 hours a day on their phone. The average American spends 3 hours a day. That could be something that we need to leave. Maybe it's a hobby. We need hobbies, but maybe the hobby has come in, and maybe it's taken you away from your wife. Maybe you need to leave that hobby. Maybe it's work. Of course, we have to work. We need to work. But maybe work has become the mistress. Maybe you need to step back and say, you know what, I need to refocus. I have left my first love, God. I have left my wife. I need to leave the things that are hindering me, and I need to come back to my wife. Maybe it's neglect. Maybe you're neglecting her for whatever reason. Leave it. Maybe it's pornography. Pornography will mess you up. Leave it. If you're struggling with pornography, reach out to your pastor. Reach out to the leaders of your church. Get some counsel. Allow them to help you to have victory over failure. That sin that's dominating your life, leave it, because it'll destroy your marriage. Men, when you lead your wife, when you love your wife, and when you leave those things that have taken you away from your wife, the result will be that your wife will naturally want to help you, submit to you, and respect you. She'll naturally want to help you, submit to you, and respect you. In closing, I want to give you some questions to write down. You can put these on your phone, or write them down, or put them in your mind. If you forget, come to me afterwards. But I want to give you some questions to ask your wife. Number one, how am I doing as your spiritual leader? How am I doing as your spiritual leader? That takes courage. It takes humility. But ask your wife, how am I doing as your spiritual leader? And then whatever she says, take it and chew on it, and then ask the Lord to help you to work on those areas. Ask her, how am I doing as your spiritual leader? Secondly, ask her this question: is my love for you, does it represent the love of Christ? Does my love for you represent the love of Christ? Or am I loving you with the love of Christ? Ask her that question. Number three, is there anything that I need to leave that is hindering our marriage? Sometimes we have these blind spots, and sometimes we can't see things, but our wives, they see things in us. They see things that we can't see. So ask her, is there anything I need to leave that is hindering our marriage? Is there anything that you see that I need to leave that is hindering our marriage? Ask those three questions and see where the discussion goes from there. And then finally, I want to, as we have 5 minutes left, but here's a couple of things to talk about in the last 5 minutes. Number one, what hinders us from fulfilling our God-given role as husbands? What hinders us? So, what hinders us from fulfilling our God-given role as husbands? Secondly, what are the solutions? So what hinders us? Think about that for just a moment. What hinders us from fulfilling our God-given role? And what are the solutions? So let's have a breakout session. These guys in this role, this guy, just in your role, where you're at, just talk about that. What hinders us from fulfilling our God-given role as husbands? And then what are the solutions? And then we'll break for lunch here in 5 minutes. So somebody from each role, start it. What hinders us? What are the solutions? What hinders us and what are the solutions? And thank you, man, for allowing me to share with you guys. Love you guys.